it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, I never thought I would say that we were late going to break because we were talking about Hamburger Helper. That's just not really a sentence I was planning on saying today. I apologize to everybody for that. That's my bad. Let me ask you this question related to Josh Simmons. Let me ask you guys this as well. 913-586-7965. I don't know why Josh Simmons is not there. I've told you guys I don't want to speculate or guess. I'm not here to pass any rumor. I don't want you guys going back to your group chats or your friends and saying, oh, I heard on the radio. No, you didn't. Not on this show. I don't know why he's not there. So I don't even want to run through the hypotheticals of why he's not there. I don't know. I imagine I will find out when you guys find out. At least publicly, you will find out at the same time. This is my question. He didn't play on Sunday Night Football, and his replacement was very good. Now, Rob, are you with me? Do you think that Josh Simmons plays on Sunday? Because I don't think he plays on Sunday. So we are now talking about two games potentially missing. Let's say that he misses 3 weeks. Let's just play this part of it out. Let's say that he misses 3 weeks. He's already missed the Lions game. You and I don't think that he's going to miss. Let's say that he comes back sometime next week. They let him practice, but he doesn't end up suiting up for the team. And in the middle of the season, he just misses three games. What do you do for the Buffalo game? Especially if his replacement plays really well. What do you do in that situation? Do you automatically give him his job? That's why I think that this question, storyline, all of it is very interesting because we don't really have a lot of information. I don't really subscribe to the thought process of, well, you can't lose your job due to injury. Yes, you can. You absolutely can lose your job due to injury. You can lose your job to not being there. You're gone for a couple of weeks. Somebody else does your job better than you were doing it. Somebody was more efficient at it. Someone caused less headaches. Hey, I don't know if it's a guarantee that when you come back, you get your job. I don't want to now make it seem like, hey, he's never going to be the left tackle again. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But I'm just saying, let's say he comes back in 2 weeks. He's missed 2-3 weeks, and Jalen Moore has played a really, really solid left tackle. Are you automatically giving the job back to Josh Simmons in this scenario? Or, for the first time, is it a real competition for left tackle, and is there a chance that Josh Simmons goes to the bench?
So you're asking me, basically, is if Josh Simmons misses a few more weeks and Jalen Moore has played well, if Jalen Moore can Wally Pip
for
Josh
sure.
Simmons? I think the answer is yes. And I think the answer is yes because I think we have seen in Kansas City, Andy Reid will play the guy that gives him the best chance to win. We saw it with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Isaiah Pacheco, and there are other examples of, hey, there are no sacred cows. This is the guy who's playing over you. Now, I, like you, have no idea why Josh Simmons is absent. He was not at the game on Sunday. He was not at practice today. We do not have a timeline of him returning. But I think if Jalen Moore goes out there and continues to put week after week after week of high-score PFF games and he gets, you know, recognized in the locker room and he just keeps playing very, very well, I think there's a chance he does take Josh Simmons' job if, in the hypothetical, Simmons is missing 3-4 weeks. Like, let's say we're at the bye week, just picking a nice clean date, and Jalen Moore's been playing good football, and then Josh Simmons returns from whatever is happening. I think you stick with Jalen Moore. And then, in the offseason, you can adjust, because you'll have Moore, you'll have Simmons, you can make a decision about the future left and right tackle from there. But I don't know you can keep bouncing back and forth at left tackle. You're going to need continuity to make that offensive line play at the highest level.
Yeah, I'm with you if that's the case. And right now, I would say the text line is pretty firmly on Josh Simmons gets to keep his job. I guess to further the conversation, is the feeling that way because he's a first round draft pick? Because it's not like we don't see guys lose their job for a lot less in the National Football League. We have definitely seen a running back who was having a really good stretch. He then fumbles one time and that's it. We've seen kickers miss one kick and the next thing you know, you are unemployed. Again, I don't know why he is gone. Have absolutely no clue why he's gone. But if in your absence, you don't miss a beat, I mean, it's not like right now no one is in a, hey, we need you to hurry back. Like if I told you right now that Josh Simmons is going to be out for the next 4 weeks and I tell you that he's not playing in these next four games, what do you think their record is? I imagine that most people think their record is the same. 3-1, 4-0, the Chiefs are about to get hot, the offense is still rolling. So it's not like right now the argument is that the Chiefs really desperately need Josh Simmons. There are some players I don't think they could go 4 weeks without. There are some players that if they were gone for 4 weeks, I would say the Chiefs are in trouble if that's the case. Nobody feels like the Chiefs are in trouble right now, even though their left tackle is MIA and no one knows where he is. So if we're saying that we don't think that the Chiefs are pressed to get him back here, how can we then say that his job is automatically his when he gets back, especially if we think his replacement is doing a great job at his job?
I'm seeing a lot of he's the left tackle of the future on the text line. And I agree with that. But I think there are two separate conversations at play here. There's 2025 and there's the future. If he comes back at some point this season and he loses his job, he can still earn it back in the offseason. And then you have Jalen Moore at right, and then you have Josh Simmons at left tackle, and you feel really strong. But I don't know that in season you can just say, hey, you were gone for blank amount of weeks for blank reason. Those are just things we can't answer right now. But you get your job back, no doubt. I don't know he is in Sharpie as the left tackle one. Like if Travis Kelce missed 5 weeks with insert thing and then came back, yeah, he's still tied in one. I don't know that Josh Simmons has that same level of latitude, especially with Jalen Moore playing the way he is.
Yeah, but I guess maybe in this, I guess maybe where I have a little bit of a disconnect from the text line and no, he's earned the job and et cetera, right? I would say some of what you're describing is football. I mean, if we want to play this out from the Jalen Moore perspective, Jalen Moore, I'm guessing when Jalen Moore was a free agent and could have joined any team in the National Football League, I'm pretty sure that he was told he was going to be the left tackle of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why they signed him, right?
They signed him immediately, too. I can't imagine the first 2 hours of free agency, they're like, hey, you're going to earn your job.
Day one of free agency, you go out and you sign, and they give you $21 million. When you had the opportunity to go play for a bunch of other teams, I'm assuming they told you that you were going to be the left tackle. Now, things changed. The draft fell in a certain way. They then drafted their left tackle. It doesn't really feel like they really gave you any chance of competing at left tackle, and they took your job away. I would argue that that's football. Next man up. Hey, we think this guy's better than you at this position. I'm sorry, but we're going in a different direction. I'm just simply asking the question, why do we assume they can't do the exact same thing in the other direction? Hey, Josh, we appreciate everything that you've done for the first 6 weeks of the season in this hypothetical. But if Josh Simmons is gone for 3-4 weeks and we don't know where he is, I just don't know how automatically we're now putting him back in for the Buffalo Bills game. I just don't know how we're doing that. Most important game of the season, and we're going to now sit the guy down who's played 3 weeks in this scenario, played a great job, been here every day, and the guy that's been gone, he's going to practice 2 days and go back to plan. I don't know if it works that easy. Maybe it does work that easy, but it's certainly a conversation worth having when we just don't have much information right now on when this is going to end.
I also would say, and this is a question for the text line in this hypothetical, because this is how me and the text line see it differently. They're saying if he's back in 2, 3, 4 weeks, it's his job. Well, what's a timeline if that changes? Let's say, and again, we don't know why Josh Simmons is out. We have no information now. All we know is that he's out. Personal reasons. If he's out for 6 weeks, what is that, Thanksgiving, ballpark? Let's say...
I would say that would be an extreme example if he's gone that long.
I don't know how long he's going to be out.
I'm
creating an example just for if he's out 6 weeks and Jalen Moore's
playing.
That's
a very long time to be gone.
Does that change things? For the text line, does that change things? Is the only reason the text line, this is a question for them, is the only reason they are saying, hey, Josh Simmons, whenever he returns, the job is his, is because in the hypothetical is 2 or 3 weeks. If we change the hypothetical and make it 6 weeks, and you're right, without knowledge of what it is, that's an extreme example. But if it's 6 weeks, does he come back and he's the starter? Like, is he just no matter what, when he returns, put him at left tackle one? Or is there a timeline for people who are arguing against Jalen Moore being the starter?
Yeah, I mean, to me, six is like if – and I know we're having a hypothetical. If you think that Jalen – or if you think that Josh Simmons could be gone for 6 weeks, it's safe to ask if he's still on the team. Because then
I don't think they cut him. I just actually
I know, but
that.
I'm saying is if it's 6 weeks, I think we can eliminate a family member died if that's the case. 6 weeks in the middle of the football season, that usually just doesn't happen. One, two, maybe. Six is a long stretch of time, a very long stretch of time. And right now, if the conversation is happening and you've been gone for less than a week, 6 weeks is serious. I'm trying to give him a realistic number. I think he's gone 2 weeks. I think he comes back sometime in the middle of next week. Just the hypothesis on my part.
That includes the time already accrued that he missed. Yeah.
I think he misses the Lions game. I think he misses this game. I think he comes back to practice sometime next week. Because I'm guessing at some point, if you're his employer, and maybe they know behind the scenes and they're not telling us, but sometimes if you're an employer, hey, when are you coming back? We need you back by X date. That's what we need you back. We need you back, focused, locked in, getting ready for the second half of the season. We need you back by this time. So you need to be back here by this time. Maybe you're not playing, but you need to be in the playbook. You need to be in the facility. We need you around. Right now, he's not around the team. He has taken a leave of absence for now. Most jobs will give you a couple. Hey, maybe it's a mental health break. Take a little bit of time. But you can't be gone for 6 weeks and then think you can come back and now start for the game against Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. No, you've been gone a very, very long time. That's why I was asking the question. I do think it's a question. Hey, if he only is missing these 2 weeks and he's back focused and whatever it is and he's back there, yeah, I think they give him his job back. But if he's gone for 3-4 weeks and we're having this conversation heading into Buffalo, I don't want to have this conversation when it comes to the Buffalo game. Hey, this is what we've been doing for the last 3 weeks. We've won these last three games at home. We're taking this offensive line and we're going to Buffalo and we're planning on winning. And then we can reassess the situation after we get to the bye week. That's how I would play it in this scenario. We can take you guys' phone calls on this, 913-586-7965. I think the two biggest storylines right now with the Chiefs are what's going on with Josh Simmons and also the return of Rashee Rice. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so this is what we're talking about right now, and then we'll switch to Rashee Rice. I think these are the two biggest stories in Kansas City. The question I asked before we went to break is this. Josh Simmons left at some point on Sunday. We don't know when, we don't know why, but we know that on Sunday he left Kansas City to go. We then found out from Nate Taylor of ESPN that he was in California for an unknown reason. I told you guys, I do not know where he is. I've heard this, I've heard that. I don't know anything concrete enough to tell you guys, and I'm not here to speculate because what I might have been told have been wrong. So I'm willing to wait until someone with more journalistic credibility breaks this story, the Chiefs tell us, to give us a little bit of clarity. Now, before I play this audio, I will answer this one text and why, I don't know if I disagree is a fair way of putting it, but why I don't really think that that's realistic. CDOT, how about we give Josh Simmons some privacy? You never know what he could be going through. It could be a family member, it could be this, and that could explain the lack of information. If it's a minor, like a younger brother, even more reason to respect his privacy. I think what you are asking goes against the nature of humans when there's no information. Have you ever told your wife that you had a secret? Just, hey, I got a secret. I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to tell you, but I got a secret. Of course she's going to ask you about it. So this is where I think the Chiefs have mishandled this thing potentially just a bit. if they didn't want us to ask a lot of questions about Josh Simmons, I would think that they need to all have a story that they can stick to in the short term. Hey, Josh is gone right now for a personal family member. When he gets back, he will explain it more in detail. But right now, we are going to respect his privacy, and that's how we're going to handle it the rest of the way. I think if they gave the public and the media a little bit of something, I think a lot of this could have gone away. But I think the fact that they have been overly secret about where he is just leads to everybody's theory on where he is. I'm sitting here and I'm reading the text line right now. The text line doesn't even have a consensus on why they think Josh Simmons isn't here. Is it a death in the family? Is it this thing? Is it this thing? So I think the secrecy around it and the uncertainty around it has just led to everybody trying to guess why they think he's not here. I'm not necessarily as concerned about that. My question is, let's say that this is an extended absence. I don't think he's playing this week. I don't think he's practicing this week. That would be he's gone for a week. All right, gone for a week. You come back and you're ready for the Commanders game. I think he plays in that scenario. I think they give him his job back. I think he starts. If we're talking about this being a three, potentially longer, and maybe he's out until after the bye week, I'm asking, are we 100% certain that he gets his job? Because we've seen a lot of scenarios in sports. That's not necessarily how it works. I mean, how did Tom Brady become the starter for the New England Patriots? They had Drew Bledsoe. They let this other guy start. He then started. He was good. And then they were forced with the decision. They chose Tom Brady. And we obviously know how it's gone. I can give you countless examples. So I'm not telling you that I've given his job away, but I'm asking how long can he be gone and he keep his job? Someone on the text line asked this question. CDOT, if you were gone for a week, would it be fair if we started to speculate who was going to take over your job? You guys do that all the time. Rob, how many times have I just missed a Friday? Hey, is Carrington good? Is he fired? I was just here Thursday. No, I missed a Friday. It's Friday in June. Why did you think I got fired? I absolutely would. It would be reasonable if I was gone from Monday to Friday and then I missed the next Monday for you guys to wonder what happened to me.
Especially if we didn't say. Like in the hypothetical where I'm not comparing what Josh Simmons is going through or what's happening there to this. But like if you were gone for a week, and Bink was hosting, and Bink at no point made reference to the fact you're on vacation or something, people would start to ask questions. Hey, CDOT had another show for a week, and they haven't talked about it. That's odd. That's what's happening with the Chiefs in a different sense. The fact they haven't spoken about a timetable, I think that's the biggest thing. Nate Taylor straight up asked Andy Reid about it on Monday during their Zoom. Is there a timetable for him to return? Andy didn't really answer. No one seems to have it, or at least if they have a timetable, they're not communicating it. That's what's odd to me. So something is happening. I presume the team knows. We don't know. That's fine. We'll eventually find out. But the fact that they haven't communicated that they know a timeline is what's odd to me.
Yeah, and this part about it, I guess maybe I just don't really understand this. Someone says, CDOT, how about just being a human and giving the man some space? I mean, the man is in California right now. How much more space do you think we can give him? Does that mean the rest of us can't talk about the football team? I can't give the man much more space than that. I don't know where he is. I don't got the man's number. I don't talk to the man. Hey, go handle what you need to handle. But the rest of us got to talk about the football team and what they got to do to take care of business on Sunday against it. I would say that they have given him all the space in the world. He's gone. You can't give him much more space than that. Hey, go handle what you need to handle and then come back and then we'll have a conversation. And at some point, he'll stand in front of the media and answer questions. But I do think it's fair to at least ask the question of where's your starting left tackle? We were talking about a guy who was a Pro Bowl caliber player a couple of weeks ago, a guy who was going to be on the all-rookie team. He was truly having one of the best years at that position, regardless of experience, and he just left right before a game. Why he's gone is certainly a story. Let's move on and let's talk about Rashee Rice. Rob, what are you expecting from Rashee Rice this week? Because I really don't know what to expect. Like, he was in all of training camp. He was pretty good in the preseason. Now, I know he hasn't played in a real NFL game in quite some time, so I don't know if you can expect him to be the exact same player that we saw right before the injury. But if he's 80%, 90% of what he is, we're talking about one of the top 30 wide receivers in the National Football League and a guy that drastically changes this offense. We heard from Mitch Holtis. He compared him to Deebo Samuel. I was reading a story earlier today that compared him to Brandon Ayuk. For a team to be adding a player of this caliber at this point in the season, I mean, this is like basically having two trade deadlines. The real trade deadline comes up in less than a month, November 4th. But if you were telling me that the Chiefs are adding a player that they have not had on their roster since September of last year, that you think is their most talented skill position player, so running back, wide receiver, tight end, he is their most talented. You add a 25-year-old third-year player still on his rookie contract. I mean, that is as significant of an addition of any team in the National Football League for a player who hasn't already played yet this season.
I don't have a statistical number about what the Chiefs are adding in Rashee Rice, but I will say this. I think his impact will be enormous on this team, but I don't know it's going to be immediate. I think there will be a ramping up process with him because I know he played in the preseason. I'm aware of that. We have not seen him, Hollywood Brown, and Xavier Worthy on a NFL football field in a game that mattered basically ever. So I think the Chiefs are going to try to feel it out how it works in real time. Now, that's not saying that Rashee Rice is going to get one target on Sunday and, you know, he's barely going to be out there. But I don't think he's going to hit the ground running with, oh, man, 9 for 145 and a touchdown. And he's suddenly one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Can you believe? I think it is going to be a little bit of knock the rust off time. So I think he will have an enormous impact. I think you're right. It's basically like adding a player at the trade deadline without having to add a player at the trade deadline. I just think, much like adding a player, I think there's going to be a little bit of ease him into the fold. And that's also how historically Andy has handled things with guys coming back from injury or things of this nature.
Yeah, I think you and I are at least on the same page when it comes to this. I don't really care how Rashee Rice does these next 2 weeks. Now, I want to see him get a realistic usage. I want to see him on the field. I want to see him have the ability to take a hit. Because one thing I don't think we're talking nearly enough about, it's not just coming back from the suspension. That's one part of it, right? One part of it is you missed the first six games of the season. The other part of it is you were coming back from a significant injury that caused you to miss the remainder of last season. I mean, the Chiefs have played, at this point, what, 20 games without Rashee Rice? At this point, he has missed almost as much time as he has played in the National Football League. He played all of his first season, the first three and a half games of year two. He then missed the remainder of year two, and then some of it now. So we're not that far off in terms of the how much you've been on the field as opposed to how much time that you've missed. So to me, it's a couple of things. It's the timing of just being back there out there on the field and just real live game speed. I don't care how much you played in training camp. I don't care how much you played in the first quarter of a preseason game. That ain't like playing in a regular season football game. The intensity, the speed of it, the physicality of it, drastically different. Your conditioning. So I think we're talking about different things. You got to be able to take a hit on that knee, which you just haven't in a very long period of time. The timing of how you work in that offense, and you're in a much different offense than the last time that you played. The last time you were in an offense, you got all the targets in the world. The offense basically revolved around you the last time that you were there. That's not the way their offense should work right now. Not when you got Xavier Worthy, who has played very well for the last 12 to 14 games or so. Not when you've added Tyquan Thornton, who Rashee Rice has never played in a regular season game with. Not when Hollywood Brown, another player who we've never seen Rice play on the field with. The fact that they have so many more options, I don't know if Rice is going to be able to get the same target and volume that he was used to at the end of year one and also heading into year two. You remember, early in the season last year, they were just force-feeding Rashee Rice. I don't know if that's going to be the offensive plan moving forward for this team.
I do think that's a great point about them having more weapons than at any point in Rashee Rice's career, like, or at least his career on the field. I was trying to pull up his game logs because if I recall, when he first played, like at the start of his career, it was a little bit of time to get acclimated. And remember, this was a time where the Chiefs wide receiver group was bad. This was Kadarius Toney. This was Travis Kelce is not bad, but Travis Kelce was option 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. There was Kadarius Toney. There was Rashee Rice. There was MVS. This was the year they won the Super Bowl against the Niners, but no one waxed poetically about, oh man, can you believe how good these Chiefs wideouts are? It took him about 6 weeks to really hey, they figured out what they had in Rashee Rice. And that was a rookie who they had in camp who had been practicing the whole deal. Now, I don't think it's going to take 6 weeks to get him up to speed, but I do think it's going to take a little bit of time for maybe it's Pat, maybe it's Andy, maybe it's Nagy. I don't know. But it's going to take someone a little bit of time to figure out, hey, when Worthy does X, that opens up this for Rice. But when Rice does that, that does this for, like, there is a trickle-down effect to all these things. So I think there's going to be an acclimation process, but I do think the fact is maybe he's out there on plays and Pat's like, oh, he's not quite where we want. It's Worthy open, and they learn those sorts of things that have a cumulative trickle-down impact on the offense in this game and then throughout the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's just a lot of it just like their ability to understand how to play together and just to what you said, everybody's role in the offense. I think it's just going to drastically be different. Like if you're looking at last year, I mean the last game that Rashee Rice played in and was able to finish, he got 14 targets in that game against the Atlanta Falcons. He had 12 catches for 110 yards. He caught a touchdown. Now, maybe he gets back to that in this offense. I just think if you're looking at the amount of options that they have, man, 14 targets is a lot. So I just wonder, how do you kind of integrate him into this offense? How do you give him the space that he needs? How do you then create that same space for Xavier Worthy? Because one of the reasons I think Worthy was able to develop in the way that he developed in the second half of the season is they just had him doing all the stuff that Rashee Rice was doing. You remember when Rice really got going in that second half of the season, he was running a lot of underneath stuff, a lot of stuff close to the line of scrimmage. I think that's what they started doing with Xavier Worthy last year. You remember they did a lot of deep ball stuff in the first half of the season, and they kind of reeled a little bit of that in the second half of the season. Well, now what do you do with both of those guys, and how do you kind of figure it out? To use a basketball analogy, how do you now space the floor with a couple of different guys who need ISO opportunities? I think they're going to have to try to figure that out in a wide receiver sense with how do they get everybody acclimated to the offense.
And I think this is their mantra. This is their thing. This is their hashtag, EGE. Everybody's got to eat. You got to figure out how to get everyone eating. Like, it to your point about the last time we saw Rashee Rice complete a game, there is no chance. I don't want to say no chance. It would stun me if he got 14 targets in this game. Because EGE, everybody's got to eat. So I think it's going to be a little bit of Rice, a little bit of Worthy, a little bit of Brown. And that's good for the Chiefs offense. I just don't know he's going to hit the ground running with huge numbers because we live in this EGE world now. For a basketball comparison, because we love our basketball analogies on the show, I think this Chiefs offense, maybe not this week, but when it kind of gets up to the standard with all these receivers, is going to look like that that really good Kentucky team that had Karl Anthony Towns and they had Devin Booker, and they had Tyler Ulis, and they had all those dudes. It wasn't just Karl Anthony Towns every night, go get 30, and that's how he win games. It was, hey, 10 here, 15 there, maybe another 18 points here, and that's how we win games. And if someone's not playing well, then he goes out and can get 25. That's how I view the Chiefs receiver core. But on a day where Mahomes throws for 350, I don't think 185 is going to Rice. I think it's a little bit of everyone gets involved. It's EGE, which the Chiefs have been saying on Twitter for a long time now.
Where would you rank Rashee Rice? Because the text line is a little bit upset that I called him a top 30 wide receiver. And I don't mean that with, I honestly don't mean that with any disrespect to Rashee Rice. I just don't know if we're factoring in like genuinely how many good receivers there are in the National Football League. And once we get past, I think there is a pretty solid number of wide receivers that we agree are just better than Rashee Rice. Like, I'm not here to argue with you about Puka Nacua. I'm not here to argue with you about Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson, those kind of guys. I think if we really go through the numbers, there's probably 8 of those guys. Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think there's like a number of like 8 wide receivers that we don't need to argue about. These guys are clearly better than Rashee Rice at their stage in the career. Productivity, health, longevity, all of those kind of things. I then think there's a group of about 20 wide receivers in the league that it just really comes down to a matter of preference. A guy like Smith from the Eagles, Devontae Smith. Who's the better receiver, Devontae Smith or Rashee Rice? Because I'm guessing if you ask people outside of Kansas City, I think a lot of people would say Devontae Smith. I think if you ask a lot of Chiefs fans, I think they would say Rashee Rice is a better, more versatile, can do more things receiver than Devontae Smith. There's like 15 Devontae Smiths in the National Football League right now. A lot of the really good teams have a wide receiver that you would deem to be pretty comparable. What do you do with Chris Godwin? What do you do with Emeka Egbuka? I think what we are seeing is there aren't as many marquee running backs anymore because I think parents started to realize that's not where the money is anymore in the NFL. They started pushing those kids to play wide receiver. And right now, a wide receiver, I mean, this is as deep as wide receiver has ever been. What do you do with a guy like DK Metcalf? I would take Rashee Rice because he's a younger player. But in terms of who's the better player, I don't know if you can say that Rice has been a better player than DK Metcalf. I just think once you get outside that top eight, number 9 through 30 is just absolutely loaded at the position.
I probably have him top 25 when he's 100% healthy. But I agree with you. It is not like a rock solid, no doubt, he's number blank. Because I do think you're right. I actually think the numbers of like truly elite is like 4 or 5. And then number 6 through 25 is kind of interchangeable. And then from 25 to really 40, I think you have a wave of guys that Rashee Rice is better than. But you're like, oh, he's still a good wide receiver in the league. Like, I think Rashee Rice is worse than CeeDee Lamb, but CeeDee Lamb is a really good wideout in the league. I think he's better than Rice. So I have him penciled in, no doubt, top 25, because I have him as a wide receiver one, and that's kind of how I feel about it. But I agree with your point. I think anyone saying he's top 10 or anything like that is way too early. He's top 25 safely right now.
Yeah, no, like I'm seeing this right here. I absolutely think he's a top 10 receiver. He's probably closer to the back end, but still, I would just love to see your top 10 wide receiver list and just love to see where, if you're arguing right now that Rashee Rice is a top 10 receiver in the National Football League, I just want to see how you kind of have the top 10 ranked. I actually was going back and forth with Mark Gunnels second week in a row. He's actually been referenced on the show. Shout out to Mark Gunnels. And he said the same thing, that the Chiefs were getting back a top 10 wide receiver in the National Football League. Let me pull up for you because I want to read to you what his top 10 was, because that just seemed like a really high ranking to me in which I would have Rashee Rice. I just don't have him that high up on the list. But obviously, I think he's a very, very good, very, very productive player. Text line 913-586-7965. I'm trying to find this here on the spot. Not stall. Here it goes. I found it. This is who we had as top 10 receivers: Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Puka Nakua, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, Malik Nabers, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He had Rashee Rice at 9 and Drake London at 10. That is who we had.
I mean, I disagree with Drake London at 10 more than anything on that list.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm looking at it, and to me, I would say 7 of these to me are not, I'm not arguing with you. Like, people on the text line, he's better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. You're crazy for thinking that right now. Like, if you got a Rashee Rice ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown, what are we doing here? No, I can't put him that high on the list. I would say on this list, Jefferson, Chase, Nakua, Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, mm-hmm. A.J. Brown. I also would put Jaxon Smith-Njigba on this list. I think they are clearly ahead of him. And then I would say, again, there's that second tier of wide receiver. I just think there's 20 of those guys in the National Football League, and I think that Rice is in that mix.
I 100% agree. Like, I think Rashee Rice is better than the player I'm about to compare him to, but like, what do you do with Zay Flowers? Like, Zay Flowers,
I'd rather have Rice than have Zay Flowers.
I agree, but Zay Flowers in that second tier, I could see maybe they're wrong, but I don't think it's an egregious take to be like, oh, I prefer Zay Flowers to Rashee Rice. Like, I prefer Rice, but I don't think Flowers or Rice is an outlandish take. I'm thinking of guys who are in this second tier that kind of get caught in no man's land. Like, Garrett Wilson's probably in this second tier. Garrett Wilson, now he's hurt right now, but he's a really good wideout in the league when he has a quarterback.
Like, yeah, I would put Garrett Wilson ahead of Rashee Rice. I'm being serious. I don't really know what the argument would be. Like, if you are arguing that Rashee Rice is better than Devontae Smith, I'd love to hear what that argument is. Based on what Devontae Smith has done every year since he's been in the National Football League, he's been very healthy. He's been very reliable. He's been very productive. I just would love to hear the argument of what makes him better. Now, I don't think there's a huge gap between those two, but yeah, I would put Devontae Smith ahead of Rashee Rice. We can keep this conversation going. You know, we're always down to argue lists. The two big stories right now with the Chiefs: Josh Simmons is MIA and Rashee Rice is back. He practiced for the first time today since September of last year. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, an argument is broken out on the show about where we would rank Rashee Rice on the list. I called him a top 30 wide receiver. The text line is very, very frustrated. One gentleman is trying to argue that he would have him ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. I honestly think that that's crazy if you would put him ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. I feel like I'm coming off like I don't think Rashee Rice is good, and that's not the case. I think he is very good. I think there is a grouping of about 8 wide receivers, and then there's that second tier of wide receivers. I think they're just all kind of interchangeable, and you take your pick. I mean, so far in Amon-Ra St. Brown's career, he's averaging 100 catches a year, 112 catches a year, 1,300 yards, and 9 touchdowns. So far in his first 5 seasons, I just can't say after 20 games of Rashee Rice that he's a better receiver than Amon-Ra St. Brown. Devontae Smith has also caused a little bit of controversy as well. Devontae Smith, if you take his averages, he's averaging 83 catches for 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns in his first 4 seasons in the league. Yeah, he's off to a little bit of a slow start. I don't really think that's because he's declined as a player. I think the passing game right now for the Eagles is just broken this year. So those are just two individuals that I personally would put ahead of him. I think he's very, very good. I think we are underselling a little bit how deep the position is at wide receiver right now. And just a guy like Brian Thomas Jr., what do you do with him? Very talented wide receiver, could be a number one for a lot of teams in the league. Is he a top 20, top 25 receiver? I just think we're looking at right now, this is the deepest that the position's ever been. And obviously it's very deep because you got guys like Rashee Rice who could have 1,000 yards a season. There's just so many of those guys in the league right now.
Wide receiver is probably the deepest we've ever seen in the NFL. So I understand why text line and people take offense at it. You call him a top 30 wide out. I have him the top 25. He's probably somewhere between like 11 and 18 on my list.
Well,
but
let me ask you this, though, and sorry to cut you off. The reason I do this is, you remember ESPN did that list. They do the list every
correct.
Summer where they
yep.
ask scouts on where they would rank wide receivers. This is where they fell. Jamar Chase was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Jefferson was number two. Tyreek Hill was number three, which seems a little bit high, but Tyreek Hill.
Things have changed since that list.
Tyreek Hill at the beginning of the season deserved to be considered 100%. A top 10 wide receiver in the National Football League. CeeDee Lamb, AJ mm-hmm. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Malik Nabers, Nico Collins. I don't feel like Nico Collins' name has come up really at all in this conversation. You have to put Nico Collins ahead of Rashee
really,
Rice.
I think they're really close, but yeah, Nico Collins is he's in that same tier to me, but go on.
What do you do with Mike Evans?
I think he's better than Rashee Rice.
You know, this show loves Mike Evans.
It's hard right now because Mike Evans is not healthy, but I think Mike Evans is probably better than Rashee Rice, but I'd take Rashee Rice because of age, but for a 1 year, I'd take Evans. Okay.
And on this list was Garrett Wilson. So just think about that. That's who NFL scouts thought were the top 10 wide receivers in the National Football League. Their honorable mention was Terry McLaurin, Puka Nacua, Brian Thomas Jr., DK Oof. Metcalf, T. Higgins, Devontae Adams. I mean, on this list, now I understand some of it's just due to injury. I mean, Rashee Rice, he wasn't even in the other receiving votes category. Devontae Smith, Ladd McConkey, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Jamison Williams, DJ Moore, George Pickens, Cortland Sutton. I think Rice is better than some of those guys that I mentioned. I'm only bringing those names up or let's not undersell how deep wide receiver is right now.
Also, not on that list, and again, that list is not the end-all, be-all. What do you do with someone like his name's Emeka Egbuka, but whatever Gronk called him.
A dog. He's a dog. Yeah, he's a dog right now.
What do you do with that guy who's out here just dominating the league 7 games into the year? Wide receiver is crazy deep, but I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's insulting to Rashee Rice to have him in between 10 to 25 in the NFL. I actually think 10 to 25 in the NFL is a lot of guys that you would be like, oh man, that dude's a star. But there's so many good ones right now.
Yeah, someone on the text line says, I think you're not evaluating Rice properly because he hasn't played. But I guess Some of my reason for why I just can't put him in that conversation yet is, like, longevity, what you've done, what you've accomplished in the league has to be there. Now, are we arguing that in a year and a half you could feel that way about Rashee Rice? Absolutely. You stay healthy, you put together a solid second half of the season, you come ball out next year, you get another contract. I'm absolutely willing to evaluate this thing. And it's a flowing list. It's a flowing chart. I mean, it was, what, 18 months ago, we probably would have put Tyreek Hill undeniable top three on this list. I don't think he's anywhere on your list. Like, it's an ever-changing list right now. The same way we were just having the conversation about Josh Simmons and, hey, just because you're the starter now doesn't mean you're always a starter. Hey, just because you're a top 10 wide receiver right now in the middle of October, that don't mean you're a top 10 wide receiver coming up in November. Not with how competitive that division is, and it's constantly moving and flowing based on who's healthy and who's not healthy. Malik Nabers, I don't think you can put him as the top 10 receiver right now because of the ACL injury. That's another guy that I would have had on the list ahead of Rice, who I think is a better receiver than he is.
And on that list was a name that I truly don't know what to do with, Brian Thomas Jr. Because Brian Thomas Jr. last year was a star.
I'd rather have Rice than have Brian Thomas Jr. Completely sold on him.
It's because he's dropping everything this year. But last year, what Brian Thomas Jr. did was freak show good for a rookie. Like, he was in the honorable mention. Like, I think he's in the same category. I think Rice is better too, but I think they all end up in this same category of, for a Hall of Fame analogy, you always say there's the Hall of Very Good. This is the second tier of wide receiver in the NFL is crazy deep.
We'll get back to this coming up at the top of the hour. I want to play this audio for you guys very quickly, and I think it kind of goes in line with what we're talking about. I think when it comes to college basketball and college football coaches, it's kind of the same thing. There are the 6 to 8 that are truly game-changing in their sport, and then there's a large group of coaches that are right there in that next tier. And it's dependent on a lot of things. It is ironic to me that one of the names being thrown out at Penn State for a team that fired their coach because he couldn't get them over the hump and couldn't win the big game is Missouri's head coach.
Eli Drinkwitz is a name that I think has to be on their list.
That's the one I brought up on HQ.
I think you're doing a disservice to yourself if you don't at least check to see how interested he would be in this gig.
He recruits really well. He's been very progressive in terms of like embracing some of the NIL stuff. He also, I think, has done a tremendous job of he's had to replace coordinators. His bigger programs hire them away. And one of the hallmarks of good coaches is that they do hire better, they continue to hire good coordinators to figure it out.
He could bring his quarterback with him too.
And look, we are giving a lot of flowers and spotlight to Penn State as a job, but you are still so playing that role in the world, the Ohio State Michigan power dynamic.
All right. My brain is broken with, we just fired our coach because he couldn't win the big game. Now near the top of our list is a head coach who has not won a big game at his current job. I think this is the problem. It's kind of that argument that you and I have when we always kind of make fun of, well, you guys don't like any quarterback. You don't like this quarterback because of this. Well, then what quarterbacks do you like in the National Football League? Which quarterbacks can win the big game? Like, you don't win the big game until you actually win it. I feel like that same thing happens in almost every other sport. Like, you get mad because this guy can't cross the goal line and he's not this person. Well, that's the way you felt about that person until people used to say that about Bill Self. You know how stupid that was? Bill Self, who had won like 6 straight Big 12 championships, won everywhere. Oh, I don't think Bill can win the big game. What? What are you talking about? Of course, you get more of these opportunities. Eventually, you do them. I'm not here arguing that Eli Drinkwitz will never win a big game at Missouri. Yeah, you keep recruiting the way that he does. You keep getting his talent and stockpiling it. Eventually, you catch somebody, and eventually you do it. But I think it just goes to show, man, people, we always want more. KU just wanted a good football team. Now they got a good football team. Now that's not good enough. They want to win 8 games. Missouri just wanted to be consistent in the SEC. They found consistency. Now we want to make the college football playoff. Penn State has been as good as 99% of teams in college football. That's not good enough. We got to be Michigan. We got to be Ohio State. It is just impossible for college football fans to just accept who they are as a program and be happy with that. And if the plan at Penn State is to fire James Franklin and then fire Midwest version of James Franklin, good luck for that, because everything that people say about James Franklin is some of the conversation that people are having right now at Missouri about Eli Drinkwitz. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the top stories. It's the Chiefs. Keep it right here. So drive.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.